Our second scripture this morning takes us to the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is where we see the founding of the church and the beginnings of the church. Much of the book is dedicated to the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys all around the Mediterranean, starting churches, spreading the gospel. And today we find Paul in the city of Athens. Athens is that great classical city known for its learning and its philosophy that was remembered for people like Socrates and Plato and Aristotle. And so as Paul comes into Athens, he realizes that this place is perhaps a little different than some of the other places he's been. And yet, Paul, being a servant of God, approaches it just like he would anywhere else, and he shares the gospel. So our reading will take us to Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them at Athens, he was deeply distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he argued in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and also in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Also, some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers debated with him. Some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign divinities." This was because he was telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. So they took him and brought him to the Areopagus and asked him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? It sounds rather strange to us, so we would like to know what it means." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners living there would spend their time in nothing but telling or hearing something new. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor, he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the time of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, 'For we too are his offspring.' And since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." This is the word of God to us this morning. Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for your servants like Paul, who challenge us and who remind us of who you are. We thank you, God, for welcoming us to this place as your children and as those who are seeking and though as those who are looking to worship you. God, we pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
I think I'd be ignorant to say that Christianity is the only right religion. I don't know what the right religion is. It's just what I believe it is. Some people that I've met, it's just I've had friends, and the minute they find out about me, or the minute that I do anything that doesn't follow their religion, they don't want anything to do with me.
There's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad that can come out of it. And I'm not sure if it's from religion that the bad or the good comes out of it, or whether it's the people.
I respect a lot of faith, and I think that Christianity is the pillar that's influenced by the other great religions in the world.
La cristianidad es muy importante porque podemos aprender valores cristianos donde no podemos descubrir más acerca de nosotros.
My view on anyone who claims to have a monopoly on truth is that
there's no one truth about anything. I think that a lot of religions say the same thing in different ways.
All religions say the same thing in different ways. You heard the young lady just say that. And if I'm honest, I have to agree that, yeah, I think a lot of religions do say the same thing in different ways. It's why we're asking the question that we are today. Is Christianity too narrow? And I would argue why we're doing Explore God in the first place. We have all these questions about our own religion and why we've chosen not just to be a part of it, not just to give our life to it in some way, shape, or form, you know, to let it inform the structure and values of our life, but also why we chose to follow the Christian God. I mean, if there are other religions out there that, and they all have similarities, or they're all the same in some way, does that mean that Christianity really is the only way? Or if there are other religions out there that offer good wisdom, why should we simply settle for one? I mean, when you look at the rich diversity of our world, Christianity seems to be just one faith developed out of one corner of many in our world. And so it seems, I think, a little short-sighted to assume Christianity and its values are the only ones that matter in the whole world. Especially when we're wondering, like the woman at the end of that video, who we are, why we're here, where we came from, where we're going. I mean, whether we're Christian or Muslim or Jewish or Buddhist or Hindu or simply spiritual, the rich diversity of our world really does make us wonder, is Christianity too narrow? Especially if we're all searching for the same thing. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul affirms this. And as I mentioned earlier, the book of Acts is the book where we go to find the beginnings of the church, to find how the church started and where it started and what some of the struggles were, some of the hurdles that the early apostles, the early disciples encountered. And with Paul, we meet him today in Athens. And he was standing on a place called the Areopagus, which is this open air space that was on top of this large, like, rock outcropping that would reach out over the city of Athens, and you could see maybe the entire city. And he was there because the Athenians had heard that he'd been preaching Jesus and the resurrection, and they wanted to learn more because this Jesus, this resurrection, was new and strange to them. Now, keep in mind, the Athenians were a learned society. They'd always been known as a university town. And so they were always looking for new insights into life, the world, and the divine. I mean, it says in verse 21, the Athenians and foreigners living there would spend their time in nothing but telling or hearing something new. So it suggests that they were always trying to learn. They were always sort of debating with one another. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds really good to me. I'd love to spend my life doing that. That's just me. Anyway, Paul, though, had noticed all their statues, their shrines, their sanctuaries, attesting to this intellectual curiosity, including an altar to an unknown god. And when he stands in front of the council of the Areopagus, he even affirms how religious they are. He even goes as far as to affirm their worship of this unknown god. So Paul is essentially affirming all of those. He's affirming all of us who have sought after and have a desire to worship God. Then Paul goes on to tell them who this unknown God that they are seeking and worshiping really is. That this unknown God is really the God. The God who created the world and everything in it. The God who is the Lord of heaven and earth. The God that gives us life and breath and all that we need. In other words, God isn't some transcendent deity that we can never know. Paul tells us that when we search for God, that when we grope for God and consider that imagery, that God is never far from us. Acts even says that God crafted the nations and has allotted us each time. In other words, it's God who put us in places like America, or Mexico, or Haiti, or Poland, or Nigeria, or Iran, or India, or Russia, or China, or Korea, or wherever we may be. The point is, regardless of religion, whether we're aware of it or not, we all live and move and have our being in the one true God. Paul even reminds the Athenians that their own poets have affirmed this when they say, "For we too are God's offspring." You see, Paul is doing something really smart, really clever, really hospitable right here. Paul is affirming the Athenians for what was good in their own religion, but then takes it a step further. In fact, you could argue takes it multiple steps further by revealing to them the profoundly all-encompassing nature of the true God. So I want you to take a minute, and I want you to think about and imagine the people that were in that video. Maybe they're like you. You have similar questions, similar thoughts to them. Maybe you can't fully relate to them. Maybe you know people like them. But I want you to consider and think about, what would Paul have said to those people? What do you think Paul would have shared with them? How do you think Paul would have encouraged them? Well, first, I think, in my mind, I think Paul would affirm their searching, their struggles, their desire for answers. I also think he would affirm their humanity, and even some of their ideas. I think more than anything, though, Paul would reveal to them, would use this as an opportunity, I should say, to reveal to them the all-inclusive nature of God as revealed in Jesus Christ. Because that's really the bottom line from Paul, is that all of this is true, all of this has been affirmed by the person Jesus Christ. And as Paul, he makes it clear that the true nature of God has been revealed in Jesus Christ. And I know it may seem like Christianity is too narrow when everything hinges on one man. And yet the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ was the most inclusive act the world has ever seen. Because Jesus didn't die or resurrect for this group of people or for that group of people, but for all people. And it was so that all people could come to know the true God who is Lord over all and yet always near. If it helps, a good way to visualize this is that when we search for God, think of yourself as an archer. You're holding your bow. We're all aiming our arrows to the same target, in the same direction. Or I'll phrase that differently. We're all aiming our arrows in the right direction. But the God of Christianity in Christ is the target. And our goal is to hit that bullseye. And if it helps, our goal is to every time we shoot, to split the arrow that's in front of us. That's solidarity. So my prayer for you, my encouragement for you, and for our church, for our community, and for our world is this. That we can hear in Paul's words the desperation for all of us to know the true God. That we can hear in Paul's words the desperation for all to be reconciled in Christ and to discover just how close God is. That we can hear in Paul's words that the true nature of God has been revealed and can be known. If we can acknowledge and if we can accept the true God through Christ, then we experience the deepest and most abundant hospitality. The kind of hospitality that unites us all around this table. Because it's the kind of hospitality that brings us together as believers and worshipers of that one true God. You could say it's a table of solidarity in its own way. But it's also a hospitality that Christ commissioned with each of us to share with the world, just like Paul. And while we can't all be like Paul, we all have a story to tell. We all have experiences of this one true living God that we can offer and that we can share with others, just as they have to share with us. You see, we are all seeking. We are all desiring to worship the one in whom we live, move, and have our being. And Paul reminds us that God is that, and that nothing is bigger or more inclusive than God. Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, as a revelation of both your nature and your all-inclusive love and mercy. God, we thank you for revealing to us who you are, that you are not just some deity made out of stone or gold or silver, but that you are the one true living God, the Creator and Lord of all, that you are the one in which we move and have our being, that you are the one in which we are reconciled, that you are the one that we search for, the one that we long to worship. God, we praise, we gather around this table as fellow worshipers and believers, that we remember that this table, much like Paul's speech on the Areopagus, his argument, was about you and not us. It was about reminding us of who you are, through which we discover who we are. God, we thank you. And we offer this prayer to you in your name. Amen.